Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Las Vegas, we're really pleased to welcome Team USA women's assistant coach Jennifer Rosati. She's also the president of the WNBA's Connecticut Sun. Jen, you all are just coming off a game against the WNBA All-Stars as another tune-up for Tokyo. How much excitement is there about finally seeing these Olympics come together and manifest with this group of young women?
So much excitement. I feel like we've been waiting forever. You know, it was supposed to happen last summer, and then, you know, we had that whole year building up with those exhibition games of the college tour and these windows we played in for FIBA, and then to have it all shut down was super disappointing. But it just seems like it's been a long wait, and we're excited to now be here in Vegas and preparing the team to head to Tokyo on Monday.
I saw some of the comments from Sue Bird after the game on Wednesday, and she mentioned how competitive it was, how intense, and yet said we're not a team at this point, a team yet. So how close is this group to really being able to compete for gold?
It's all about perspective, you know, like we're not close at all because we've literally had 2 days together. But at the same time, the team meshes really quickly. So, you know, keeping it in perspective, we have about a week and a half to get ourselves ready, and I feel like that's plenty of time. It's just, people forget that we have six brand new Olympians, players that haven't been on this stage before. So there's definitely pressure and nerves and some jitters and everybody trying to find their role and Dawn trying to figure out rotations. And so the more opportunity we have to work together, like in practice and against Australia and Nigeria in our exhibition games, the better we're going to be. So I feel like by the time we leave on Monday, we're going to be a whole hell of a lot closer.
These women are used to the protocols of the last year. Of course, those who play in the WNBA were sequestered for months. The college athletes, they obviously had to go through various protocols. What does it entail in getting to Tokyo, and how much extra is that to handle for a team?
It's a lot, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, we're so close. I mean, everybody's been waiting for 2 years to go to Tokyo. And we're 5 days away, and it's like nerve-wracking to get tested every day. I'm not going to lie. You know, nobody wants to have this dream taken away from them. I mean, we've all been waiting a long time. So it's fun that we're having a chance to be in Vegas and have the exposure with the All-Star team, but it's also really scary because the COVID positivity rate out here is high, and there is nobody wearing masks. So we're pretty much sequestered in our rooms. You know, we leave for practice. We have our own separate team meal and workout space, and you know, the women are just being really responsible and diligent because they want to go and they want to accomplish this goal, and they know that they're going to have to be smart. But it definitely adds a whole other element of pressure that people don't realize, to have to be in a bubble, to leave on Monday without our families, you know, and to be able to go to Tokyo, you know, just the small group of us and accomplish this enormous goal.
I can imagine hearing the news about Bradley Beal, who's now been taken off the men's team literally days before, as you mentioned, departure for Tokyo. I can imagine that really resonated with a lot of your team.
Absolutely. I mean, as soon as we found out, it was like everybody couldn't wait to get back to their own rooms. We have to control what we can control, right? And that's on the basketball floor, but that's also off the basketball court. You know, some of the players have guests here, and the guests even have had to make sacrifices to stay within our bubble. And it's just, you know, it's a little nerve wracking, but, you know, everybody on the team is vaccinated and everybody's being responsible with their actions. And that's really the best that we can do right now is just make sure we're following USA basketball protocols and keeping ourselves ready.
Jennifer Rosati is joining us from Las Vegas, where she is serving as an assistant coach for Team USA women's basketball, also is president of the Connecticut Sun, and, of course, a long career in coaching at the college ranks. And Jen, you were with George Washington this past season, a season unlike any other. How did that change you or maybe alter the way that you coach, considering that it wasn't just about what was happening on the court?
It was a year like no other, and it had a lot less to do about basketball than anything else. I mean, I think we spent 90% of our time trying to make sure that our players were mentally and emotionally okay. Wow. And very little went into basketball preparation. And it's unfortunate. You know, we had a good, solid team that was able to get through the year, but it was a lot of up and downs. You know, we didn't have any fans at our games the entire year. There were no visitors allowed to campus the entire year. And our players were only able to go home for 4 days at Christmas.
Wow.
So there was a lot of emotional stress. You know, we were relying on young players that had never been to college before, and this was the environment that they walked into. There was, you know, testing every other day. There was the constant stress of, you know, people on other teams testing positive and getting shut down. There were games being canceled and rescheduled. So it was just a matter of like, hey, you know, let's decide what we want to be about this season. Our team took on a bigger platform, called Bigger Than Basketball, and we really focused on social justice issues and mental health awareness, breast cancer awareness. We really tried to let our players dive into things that were more important off the court for us to focus on. So I was really proud of how our team responded to the year and how we got through, and really was not concerned about results on the floor. For this year, it was just an accomplishment that we played at all.
Absolutely. To get through, considering so much of what was lost for students at both the high school and college level. We're spending a few minutes with Jennifer Rosati from Team USA in Las Vegas, getting set to depart for Tokyo on Monday. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned no fans at a lot of the college games this year. That's the case for Tokyo as well. Literally empty arenas. I don't suppose it gets any easier, even if it was something you had to deal with this season.
It doesn't. I mean, you know, it's a shame. These women have worked so hard over the course of their careers to get themselves ready for this. And, you know, Japan's in our pool, so it would have been really fun to play in front of a full arena of people cheering against us. But, you know, the great thing about these women is they're pros. You know, the coaching staff, we're here to do a job. And whether we're in front of five fans or 5,000 fans, it's not going to change our approach. You know, we are held to a very high standard of excellence in USA basketball, especially on the women's side as we go for our seventh consecutive gold medal. So nothing's going to affect this team now. We just need to get there. We need to get our legs on land in Tokyo and adjust to the jet lag. But certainly very excited about having a chance to accomplish this goal with these women.
You have a long history with Team USA in various capacities. What does it mean to participate in tournaments like this to represent the red, white, and blue on the international stage?
It's an honor like no other. You know, I've been with USA Basketball now for about 15 years, since 2006, in different capacities and different roles. And it never gets old. You know, like I said, the standard of excellence that we're held to, the expectations that are so high, the level of focus and professionalism of everybody that participates, and even the opportunity to see future Olympians when I work with the younger teams. It's amazing. And, you know, it's special to have a chance to be at the pinnacle with these Olympians and to see how they work and see how they operate. And whether we have fans or not, nothing gets old, and standing on that, you know, podium with a gold medal getting put around their necks is going to be something really special, especially after, you know, all the sacrifices that these women have had to make.
Your roster does have some newbies, but also some stalwarts, those who have incredible experience at the international level and, of course, in the pro game. Sue Bird being one of those from your alma mater, UConn. What has she meant to women's basketball and to USA basketball over her career?
She's literally the icon and the standard to which you want to measure so many others in terms of, you know, what she's like as a basketball player, but more importantly, what she's like as a leader. What she stands for and the way that she's used her voice the last couple of years, to push back against inequities in the women's game, to fight, racism in our society, you know, to be an example and a positive role model for the LGBTQ community. I think she just really stands for everything that you want these women to grow into. And, you know, it's been a honor for me to have a chance to grow my relationship with her through USA Basketball and get to know her as a human being, because I'm so impressed with the high level that she's able to play at consistently. I mean, she literally isn't just the best point guard to ever play the game in women's basketball, but she's still the best point guard in the world, in my opinion, at 40 years old, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy because, you know, people focus on Tom Brady and in his 40s, and Phil Mickelson becomes the oldest major winner at 50. But you think about some of the women who have continued to be at the highest level of the game, and whatever game, we could talk about soccer too, and it's so competitive. There are so many good young athletes, and yet still she is, as you say, the queen bee and the woman who runs the show.
She is, and it's a physical sport. You know, this isn't, you know, playing golf or standing back in the pocket. Not that those aren't, you know, physically draining or, you know, mentally challenging. I mean, she does it physically every single day when she steps on the floor. She does it in practice. She does it in her preparation with training. And certainly she comes through for us in the game. And, you know, I'm glad to see that she's gotten the attention that she deserves as a WNBA all-time leading assist maker and hitting 3,000 in her career and now going for her fifth consecutive record gold medal. So it's nice to see her getting the accolades and the attention that she deserves because she's always been about the team. She's always been about winning first and herself second. So it's nice to see that people recognize the impact that she's had on our game.
Jennifer Rosati is part of Team USA, getting set to head to Tokyo for women's basketball, but also president of the Connecticut Sun in a fairly new role. It's hard to believe, Jen, that the WNBA is turning 25. I mean, I can remember when it started. I know you can. What does this milestone, this quarter century milestone mean, not just for women's basketball, but for the prospects of moving forward and growing the game?
The game is better than ever, literally. I mean, it's the best. It's the best players. It's the best competition. The league is deep. There's talent, you know, to the point where, as you saw the other night, we could field two teams in the Olympics. So I'm just really proud to be a part of the league. I mean, it's stronger than ever. It's got more talented women and has more exposure for the right things, not just the on-court basketball product, but also what these women stand for off the floor. There's more competition. Everybody's talking about expansion because there's so many good players that are getting left off of rosters. And our TV viewership has been up exponentially this year. So it really is heading in the right direction. And I'm just proud to be back, circle back after, you know, 25 years and be a part of this league as a leader and have the opportunity to use my platform to amplify the voices of all these special women in the league.
You're one of those people who understands that women's basketball and the passion for the sport in Connecticut is unlike any other place in the country. It's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
The way that the fans embrace women's basketball in Connecticut. So in your new role, relatively new role as the president of the Connecticut Sun, what are some of the things you're focusing on to grow the game even further?
I'm lucky to be joining such a special franchise that has had a tremendous foundation of supporters. You know, it has a solid ticket sales revenue, and it's been, I think, a model for like how to compete in the WNBA as a, you know, a franchise that's not owned by an NBA team. So I feel really fortunate to have a chance to join something that already has such a great on the court product. But I do think there's a lot of room and opportunity for us to grow the youth space, for our players to be more a part of the community, and for us to find partners that really want to activate in a way that amplifies the social advocacy that our players are looking to do. But that's where I think the foundation is solid, and it allows us to really to grow as an organization. So I'm excited. We have great role models on our team. We have a great coaching staff, and we have a great fan base. So now it's just about making sure that we're out there, making sure that everybody knows about the Connecticut Sun, that all these little girls in New England that are playing basketball, they want to come to our games as much as they want to come go watch the UConn Huskies. So, you know, there really is tremendous opportunity, and that's a testament to the success of the team, but also to the community of the state of Connecticut and to the basketball community in New England for loving their women's basketball and making it a priority.
You're part of Team USA as a coach. Coaching is in your blood, Jen. Do you want to coach again at the D1 level?
I don't know. You know, it's a big question out there by a lot of people asking me now. I think it was time for a pivot, for sure. You know, the last probably 10 years has kind of taken its toll on me, and I'm not going to lie. I've had a great opportunity to coach with Dawn Staley in the America Cup in June, and now with her in the Olympics. So I still get a little taste of that coaching. So I don't know how I'll feel come November when the college season starts again, but I do know that I feel good about having my life back a little bit. College coaching is quite a grind, as you know, because you took part in our travels back in the day. And, you know, it kind of became a lot about the players and about recruits and about families and about the university and probably a little less about me making time for me. So I think this, I can still have that competitive drive as my, in my new role as the president of Connecticut Sun. I can compete in a different way. I can still be a part of women's basketball. And all of that last 22 years that I've been building up my network and having an opportunity to be a mentor for young coaches, having an opportunity to provide a platform, none of that goes away because I'm not a coach. So if I decide, you know, in a few years that that's the route I want to go, I think the opportunity will be there for me. But right now, as you know me, I focus on the task at hand, and I'm going to make sure I drive this team to help them win a championship on the floor, but also be the best in the league in what we do in the business side of the organization.
Jennifer Rosati is a Women's Basketball Hall of Famer, is a former USA Basketball Coach of the Year, now with Team USA and also with the Connecticut Sun as their new president. Can't wait to see you all on the grandest stage in the game. Safe travels to Tokyo, and thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
All right. Thanks, Amy. It's good to hear from you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.